Thank you for listening to this week's sermon podcast by Dr. John Hanna. It is our hope and prayer that you will be encouraged in your faith and in your walk with Jesus. For more information, please go to springfieldchurch.org. Here now is the most recent message.
Take your New Testaments and turn with me to Titus chapter 2. And as you're turning there, I just want to commend you for being in church this morning. I know it's so cold outside. It was 22 degrees this morning when I got up and came to the church. That's pretty cold. You know how cold 22 degrees is? It was so cold that I actually had to walk in a walk-in freezer just to heat up. All right, no more dumb jokes today, but thank you for being here this morning. And so let me just remind you where we've been at and where we're going to end today. 300 years ago, God raised up two brothers named John and Charles Wesley, who were kind of dissatisfied with what was happening in the Anglican church at the time that they were a part of. And so God put a fire in their heart to win the lost in England. John was the preacher, Charles was the hymn writer, and God used them in an incredible way. John was not a perfect man, and so, you know, we talk about him quite a bit. He was a human just like us. He had a horrible marriage. He and Molly just couldn't make it work. It was terrible. But nonetheless, God used John in a powerful way to preach the gospel all across England. He even came here to the United States for a couple years. The Wesleyan revival broke out, and people were coming to know the Lord. And as people were coming to know the Lord, John needed to figure out a way to disciple them, to help them grow up in the Lord. Because all of us, when we come to the Lord, we've got to get grounded in the truth and to begin to walk in the ways of the Lord. And so one of the things that he did many things, but one of the brilliant things that he did was form these small groups where these new converts would gather and pray for each other and read scripture and read other good, wholesome books, but also ask each other the important questions of accountability and self-examination. And so about 300 years ago, John Wesley came up with 22 questions of self-examination and accountability that people would ask each other in their small groups to help encourage, rebuke, correct, guide each other on the path that they were to be on. And it proved to be very, very successful. When we ask each other the hard questions about what really matters most, that keeps us on the path that we should be walking. And I'm afraid the church has kind of gotten away from that. We kind of come to church, we do our thing, we sing great songs, we'll do stuff together, but we've gotten away from asking each other the hard questions that make sure we are grounded in the reality of what God would have us be a part of. What we've done as a church is we've taken those 22 questions, the original questions that John Wesley came up with 300 years ago. It's been 300 years, so some of the wording needed to be updated, so we've updated the language. We've expanded the questions from 22 to 30. That gives us a question a day for every day in the month. And so that's what we have been embarking on in this journey. A question a day for the purpose of keeping us on the way. These questions are for us to ask of ourselves. And I give you permission to ask of me. And if you so choose, you give me and others permission to ask of yourself to keep us on the path that we need to be walking. And as we've been doing these exercises together since the beginning of this year, I've seen in my own life areas that I need to be aware of and cognizant of. The title of the message for today is Grace, Grit, Gumption, and Goodness. And I get this from Titus chapter 2. Titus is towards the end of the New Testament. Titus chapter 2, verses 11 through 15. Every so often, people will ask me, what is your favorite Bible verse? And it's hard to answer because I've got a number of favorite Bible verses. This is one of my absolute all-time, one of my favorite Bible passages. It begins with God's grace. None of this is possible without the grace of God. God is the one who revealed himself to us. That's his grace. God's the one who shows us our need for him. That's grace. God's the one that gives us the ability to even respond to him. That's grace. It all begins with grace. Now, we know that God's grace can be resisted. Why? Because we are stubborn people. We are. I know most of you well enough to know you can be stubborn. And if you know me, you know me well enough to know I can be stubborn. We are all very stubborn. And so our stubbornness can be a cause to frustrate the grace of God in our lives. And we have to be aware of that. We get in our own way of what God wants to do in our lives. So it all begins with grace, but then we need a little bit of that grit and gumption so that we can do the good works that God has for us to do. So look with me at one of my all-time favorite scripture passages in Titus chapter 2, beginning at verse 11. For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age, while we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. These then are the things you should teach. Encourage and rebuke with all authority. Do not let anyone despise you. But that's what these 30 questions are intended to do, to encourage us, to rebuke us if we need to be rebuked, to correct us, to guide us, but to keep us on the way. Let us pray. Father, without your grace, we have nothing. We couldn't even pray to you without your grace. We couldn't worship without your grace. We certainly can't be saved or live a holy, upright life without your grace. And so it all begins with your grace. But along the way, you give us that grit and that gumption so that we are then eager to do what is right and what is good. Lord, my prayer is that these 30 questions will not be a source of frustration or discouragement for us, but will be an opportunity for each of us to look at ourselves honestly in a mirror and do that hard work of self-examination and then say, God, search me and know my heart and see if there's anything in me that is not right, and then lead me in the way everlasting. That's what these questions are intended to do. And so help us, Father, as we seek to walk your path. And all God's people said, amen. 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 Today is the 25th of the month. And so let's look at question 25. And by the way, at the end of today's message, you'll get a packet for this week. But I also have for you, if you don't want the packet and the notebook, which is available, I have printed out a one-page sheet that is available on the table in the foyer on the way out. On one side are all 30 questions, 1 through 30, that you can go through. On the other side are John Wesley's original 22 questions. And so you can see what he came up with 300 years ago and how we've expanded those and built upon that. But for today, question number 25, do I pass on anything that was told to me in confidence, including in texts, emails, or social media messages, or am I a gossip? As a pastor, when I first started out pastoring, I quickly came to realize that gossip is one of those sins that we kind of give a pass for in church, right? It's just one of those things where, hey, I'm not fornicating, you know, I'm not out murdering anyone, you know. Surely I can gossip. But the scriptures have a lot to say about the destructiveness of gossip. I remember many years ago now, there was an older lady in our church. She was the queen of gossips and really destroying relationships and causing a lot of friction in our church. I ran into her at the store one day. And we started talking, and she started up, and I looked at her, and I had had enough. And I said to her, "You need to stop gossiping." And she kind of turned away in a huff and was never really happy with me after that. But the reality is, gossip can tear apart relationships, and does. Tears apart friendships, churches, the list goes on and on and on. Let's look at the James 1:26 verse. James 1:26. "Those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless." That's an important word for all people. Can we be people who can be counted upon to be people of confidence and not gossip? That's question number 25 for today. Question number 26. Am I praying about the money I spend, the media I consume, and the commitments I make? I never said these questions were going to be easy. They're not. They're not supposed to be easy. But they are for us to take a long, hard look at what we do with our money, our time, our word, our commitment. If you're still in James, turn just a little bit back to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. "Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have. Because God has said, 'Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you.'" We've got to learn to be content, not just with what we have, but with God's very presence in our lives. Because when you have God, He's all you need. And so question number 26 is an important one for us. Are you praying about how you spend your money? Wesley himself had accumulated some wealth in his life, but he made it a habit to give away as much as he could whenever his money came in. And it's said that when he died, they only found just a few pennies in his pockets. He wanted to give away what he could, especially to the poor. Are we praying about how we spend our money? And I think that's an important spiritual discipline. Question number 27 is a big one. You may want to buckle your seatbelts for this one. Have I allowed sexualization, racism, politicalization, and any other bias or stereotype shape how I see other people who are made in God's image? It's a big one. How do we view other people? Guys, and I'm talking just to the guys, how do we view women? Do we objectify them? It should not be so. Ladies, how do you look at men? How do we look at people of a different nationality, different race? And the big one for us today is how do we look at those who are different than us politically? And I don't have to tell you how politically charged our nation is right now, and it's getting worse to an extent that I never thought we would get to this point. I try to stay pretty neutral politically, but I have found myself in recent days becoming more politically charged, and God's really had to check me, and is still checking me. All people are created in the image of God, and we've got to see people through that lens. Yes, we can have disagreements. Doesn't mean we have to agree on every issue, but we must view people, all people, people of the other gender, people of other nationalities, people on the other side of the political spectrum, through the same lens that God views all people, children of God who are created in the image of God. Let's look at the Romans 12 passage. Romans 12, verses 3, 4, and 5. "For by the grace given me," and again, it all starts with God's grace. None of this is possible without the grace of God. For the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. Let's be aware of how we view others and not to allow bias and stereotype to influence how we look at others. Question number 28. When I am stressed, and we all get stressed, when I get discouraged, and we all get discouraged, where do I instinctively turn first? God and his people, or distraction and self-medication? We're all living in a day and age of great stress and even discouragement. What are we going to do with that? Are we going to allow the enemy to take a hold and bring us down even further? Or are we going to do what God's word tells us to do, which is first and foremost, in every situation, seek him? Turn to Isaiah 45:22. Isaiah 45:22. This is a powerful verse and a good reminder for all of us when we're dealing with the stresses and discouragements of life. Isaiah 45:22 says this. This is the Lord speaking. Turn to me. Turn to me. Come to me. Jesus said, all you who are weary and heavy laden, come to me, turn to me, and be saved, be healed, be made whole, be restored. Turn to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth. Why? For I am God, and there is no other. When we turn to the Lord, there are things he will do in our lives that only he can do because he is God. And so why do we turn to a host of many other people or forms of self-medication or whatever? Why do we do that when we can turn to God? We have access to Almighty God, and he will heal us, save us, and deliver us. That was question 28. Let's look at the next question. How did that get there? What? Let's go Denver Broncos, beat the Patriots. How did that get there? I don't know. Let's, oh, boo. Next question. I apologize. I don't know how that got there. I don't know how that got there. All right. Question number 29. Did I knowingly disobey God in anything, excusing it as, quote, normal, necessary, or justifying it as, quote, this is just how I am? I'm going to share something that none of us want to hear, but it's true. We are very good at justifying things. We are. Because if we want something, we will find a way in our mind to justify it, even if it means disobeying God. It's part of that stubborn nature I was talking about earlier. We want what we want. And this question forces us to consider, are we going to go after what God wants? Because God knows what's best for us. Let's look at the John 14:15 passage. John chapter 14, verse 15. Now, Jesus is speaking, and this is a very straightforward, right-to-the-point verse. If you love me, keep my commands. No justifying, no rationale, no twisting things. if we truly love God, if we want to stay on the way and on the path that He has for us, we must live in full obedience to the will of God. And that's a word that we need all of us to hear today. Am I disobeying God in anything? And the final question, question number 30. And this question we left exactly the same as John Wesley's final question. Kind of talked about it and debated it with our small group as we were kind of going through these questions, but in the end we left it exactly how John Wesley left it, because I think there's great truth in this question. And here's the question, and it's simple, but it's very profound. Is Christ real to me? Is Christ real to me? Is He more than just a story in a book? Is He more than just a historical figure in the past? Is Jesus Christ real to you today? Because if He's real for us today, I'm talking real. Like if we really believe in the resurrection, we really believe that He rose from the dead and is active and present today in our lives, that has huge ramifications for how we're going to live our lives. Is Jesus real to me? After the resurrection, when Jesus appeared to His disciples and Thomas had to look into the nail-pierced hands of Jesus, and he said, "My Lord and my God." At that moment, Jesus had become real to him. Is Christ real to you? Let's look at the 1 John passage. 1 John 5:20. This is a powerful verse. In talking and looking and thinking about the magnificence of Jesus. 1 John 5:20 says this. "We know also that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we may know Him who is true. And we are in Him who is true by being in His Son, Jesus Christ. He, Jesus, is the true God and eternal life." What a powerful word about the reality of who Jesus Christ is. And my prayer is that in this new year, Christ will become even more real to us with each passing day. I want to give you just some words of guidance and instruction as we are working our way through these questions. You'll have this in your packet from today. These 30 questions are meant to be a guide in your spiritual direction and growth. If you miss a day or two, don't fret and do not become discouraged. Just pick up where you left off. Do not become too hard on yourself or on others. We are all on this journey together with the Lord. Give yourself grace and be gracious to others. We must continually be reminded that while we are indeed on this journey towards spiritual maturity and integrity, the Lord is kind, compassionate, understanding, and gracious with us. So we too must not be too hard on ourselves or on each other, even as we are striving to press on and grow. In the month of February, where there are only 28 days, take the last 2 days of the month and double up on the last two questions. In the 7 months of the year where there are 31 days, which are January, March, May, July, August, October, and December, here are some suggestions as to what to do with that extra day. Number one, take that extra day and spend it in fasting. Fast from either no food or social media, and spend it in prayer. Number two, be intentional about finding an opportunity in the community to serve others. Local mission, senior center, food pantry, animal shelter, whatever works for you. Number three, take that day and journal in a notebook about your spiritual journey. Number four, invite someone to lunch or dinner that you may not normally think to do that with, and seek to develop that friendship. And finally, in loving God, we are to love neighbor. Take that day and intentionally do something kind and generous for your neighbor, but ask the Lord to give you creative insight as to what that would be. And finally, we did this together on the last Sunday of the year. We're going to end today by reading again Wesley's Covenant Prayer. And you will find this in your packet, this nice artwork put together by Pastor Janae Meyer. She's a pastor in New York, but she lived here in Eugene for quite some time. And I asked her if I could get her permission to use her artwork in our journal, and she said, absolutely. Thank you for asking. But would you stand with me and let's read together the Wesley Covenant as we strive to be on the path that Christ has for us, as we offer ourselves to Him, as we look at these questions of accountability and self-examination, who we really are in Christ. Let's read this together. I am no longer my own, but yours. Put me to what you will. Rank me with whom you will. Put me to doing. Put me to suffering. Let me be employed for you or laid aside for you. Exalted for you or brought low for you. Let me be full. Let me be empty. Let me have all things. Let me have nothing. I freely and heartily yield all things to your pleasure and disposal. O now, O glorious and blessed God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you are mine and I am yours. So be it. And the covenant which I have made on earth, let it be ratified in heaven. Father, as we offer ourselves to you again, use us, guide us, correct us, admonish us, encourage us, bless us, do with us as you will, for we are no longer our own. We are exclusively yours.
Hi, I'm John Hanna, pastor of All Things Good, a church that believes in the goodness of God because God is the source of all things good. We are located on the corner of 18th and East Street in Springfield, and our Sunday morning service is 11 o'clock a.m. For more information about our church, you can visit our website at springfieldchurch.org. We look forward to meeting you, and I hope you have a great day.